I'm Michelle Franzen. Backlash in Arizona over the state Supreme Court's ruling upholding the Civil War era abortion law, even from Donald Trump, who now says states should decide abortion access.
Former President Donald Trump says Arizona's 1864 abortion ban goes too far. Trump says with the fall of Roe v. Wade, for which he proudly takes credit, the will of the people will now prevail.
And now the states are handling it, and some have handled it very well, and the others will end up handling it very well.
In Arizona, abortion rights activists are aiming to put the issue on the ballot in November, a move that would likely boost Democratic voter turnout in that pivotal swing state. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
President Biden hosting Japan's prime minister at the White House, both countries pledging to expand a military alliance in the Indo-Pacific region. Consumer prices edged up in March, 3.5% higher than the same time last year. Many Americans seeing rising costs when it comes to shelter and gas. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling for a special meeting of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee next week to release $125 million to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Evers' plan would let the Department of Natural Resources decide how to spend the money instead of a framework created by lawmakers the governor vetoed yesterday. Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 will likely come up when the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues meets in New York next week. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa says Line 5 is still a threat to their land.
The Bad River Band is already at a risk of an oil spill because the pipeline is going directly through their reservation and the reroute. I mean, if you look at the map, it's basically hugging the reservation boundaries.
Stephanie Sosi is a lawyer for Earth Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Kuska. After 2 days of canvassing, the La Crosse School District has its three newest school board members. Only two candidates, Tim Alberts and Adam Maka, were on the ballot, so that meant over 10,000 write-in votes had to be counted by hand. Seven candidates registered as write-ins, and of those, Jim Magnuski, who serves on the La Crosse Mayor's Neighborhood Revitalization Committee, earned the most votes, picking up over 3,200. He'll join Alberts and Maka on the board when all three are sworn in on April 22nd. The Department of Public Instruction has received nearly all of the canvassed official vote totals for school referendums in the state. It shows that in the February and April elections, 62 of 103 referendums passed, including questions asked by Sparta and Westby. A policy analysis says public support for school referendums is dropping as taxes and inflation continue to increase. For schools, costs are also continuing to increase, outpacing other revenue sources. La Crosse is going to referendum this fall to address its facilities, and it's likely they'll be joined by dozens of other districts statewide on the ballot. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingies.
Winged thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingies.
The winged thingies.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers get a win in Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled to a 9-5 victory over the Reds. Another new face in the crew lineup, 23-year-old Blake Perkins, got the start in center field and drove in three runs. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, like, this kid loves baseball. His personality is so calm and cool, collected, and he watches the game as good as anyone.
NBA, the Bucks with a much-needed win, 104-91 over the Boston Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo had to undergo an MRI after limping off the court in the third quarter with pain in his left calf muscle. As for the game, there was only two shots from the free throw line, a new NBA record. Doc Rivers.
Man, 157 game time. My goodness. You can go to a game and still have dinner.
NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues its drive around the state.
Some of these nonprofits, the door's about to close, and the Green Bay Packer Foundation helps them.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, smacking the low 70s. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Thursday on Matt Nair on Air. Why is it important that America stays with NATO? Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson joins us at 10:33. Don't miss it.
Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin
without the yelling and screaming.
These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
Maggie, I'm just going to call Luke because we have to get somebody out there to help you.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I had planned on talking about John Eastman today, but today's not going to be John Eastman Day. I was fortunate enough to get newly announced 8th Congressional District candidate on the Democratic ticket, Christian Lyerly, is going to be joining us. And since she is an OBGYN, I thought we've got to talk about the Arizona Supreme Court decision, right? I mean, that would only be appropriate. And here's the situation as I see it. It is becoming harder and harder for Republicans across the country to defend their current stance on abortion as well as their past stance. As a result, what we're seeing is increasingly Republicans basically disavowing what they've said in the past about abortion and a woman's right to access healthcare and consultation with her family and her doctors. That's what we've got. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I would look at this very much as, hey, careful what you wish for. Careful what you campaign on, because you might just get it. And indeed, the Dobbs decision is proving to be just that, as the consequences of that ripple out across the country. and this may, story may sound somewhat familiar to you. Arizona, yesterday, their Supreme Court basically said that this Civil War era abortion ban from 1864, before Arizona was even a state, it was just a territory, they decided to pass some laws. That near total abortion ban in Arizona from 1864, the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday decided, oh, let's let that kick back in. Sounds familiar, right? In Wisconsin, we have this litigated 1849 law. Of course, both of these laws before women had the right to vote. And in Wisconsin, this past December, a Dane County judge concluded that our 1849 law applies to feticide, not consensual abortions. Anya and I talked about that at great length back in December. You can find that show at civicmedia.us. But what I wanted to talk about was, in part, Donald Trump's weird statements that he made this past weekend and the contortions that he is twisting himself into. And I'm looking at Anya because I might want to listen to this statement from Donald Trump over the past weekend. And when we can, we're going to pull that sound up. But here's here's the baseline. Yeah, Anya, I'm going to try to go to, if you can stick with me, I'm going to try to go to the Trump sound in just a second. But let's set the stage, right? This is what has gone on with Republicans. They campaigned on basically total abortion bans, that life begins at conception. We have the problem, the fallout in Alabama. We have confusion in the state of Wisconsin. We have women fleeing Texas because their life may be in danger because they cannot receive an abortion and nobody knows what the Texas ban means. We're seeing the same thing in Ohio and now Arizona too. But here are the brass tacks when it comes to Republicans in Congress. Virtually universally, Republicans in Congress support arguments that lead to a near total abortion ban. And that is the concept that life begins at conception. We know this because Republicans have signed onto briefs, legal arguments presented to the Supreme Court. Just this year, 145 Republicans signed onto a brief submitted to the Supreme Court that expressed the view that the Comstock Act, which again, we're going back to the 1800s here, the Comstock Act from 1873 should basically prohibit not just the shipment of abortion drugs, but basically anything related to an abortion, which if you think about it from a slippery slope perspective, it gets you into some scary territory very fast. And in fact, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, has taken an even more extreme stance. In January of 2023, that explicitly called for the criminalization of anyone who sends mifepristone through the U.S. mail. Now, again, that case is before the Supreme Court. Thankfully, when the oral arguments were had, even the many of the conservative justices on the court seemed reticent to substitute their non-medical, non-expert judgment for that of the experts at the FDA when it came to mifepristone being mailed to women. But let's table set a little bit. We're going to listen to this Trump word salad, I guess, would be a way to describe it. And my apologies, it wasn't from this weekend. It was actually on Monday he put this out. So the timing here is pretty incredible, right? Trump comes out with this statement that I can't make any sense of, that doesn't reflect actually what the Supreme Court decided in Dobbs. And then yesterday, the Arizona Supreme Court says that this law from, 1864, that amounts to a near total abortion ban, will go back into effect. Let's listen to the Trump word salad from Truth Social just this past Monday.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be.
And it goes on. It, by the way, the very first part of this, I don't know if we can find this as well. He basically starts out and says, I'm proud. It was my actions that led to Dobbs. I'm proud of the fact that I've stripped women of their constitutional right to free and equal citizenship as men. But here's the problem with what he just said. The first one is the Dobbs decision didn't say it should be left to individual states to decide. The Dobbs decision said there's no federal constitutional right to an abortion. That doesn't proscribe or prohibit an executive order or federal legislation to protect and enshrine that right. So he's wrong on the law, which, side note, does anybody actually proof the stuff that he says? It's so bizarre. He's not legally accurate, misleading. And I'm not talking about the rhetoric. It's just that this isn't legally accurate. And then Trump's position that oh, well, you know, each state and maybe some will have it and maybe some states won't. That's not the Republican Party's position. That's not what Donald Trump has run on. Donald Trump and the Republican Party have advocated and called for at various times for a total abortion ban. That's the reality. We're going to listen to some of them advocate for those exact things. But it's just, it's garbage. All of a sudden, now that they've gotten what they wanted, careful what you campaign on. Now we want to distance ourselves from this stripping of rights from women. And I think Anya's got the fuller sound. We're going to listen to that with Trump announcing his, how proud he is about the Dobbs decision. After these short messages, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us this afternoon, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment. Stay put, everybody. May the last one burn into flames.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Bo at Weicker-Lakepoint.com.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our conversation. I've got Dr. Kristen Lierley joining me at the top of the hour, newly announced candidate for the 8th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. And she is an OBGYN. So seemed only appropriate that we would be talking about women's right to full citizenship, autonomy over our bodies, and coming into, again, full communion, if you will, as citizens and as equals with men. Because the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday threw an incredibly tortured ruling, it sort of flies in the face of long-standing principles of statutory construction. The Arizona Supreme Court has said that an 1864 near-total ban on abortion is going to go back into effect in Arizona in 13 days. This has been wreaking havoc on women in Texas and Ohio, confusion in Wisconsin, in Alabama. And again, Donald Trump on Monday comes out with this weird word salad, says he's very proud about Dobbs. Let's just listen to it one more time. Now, here's the two things that you're listening for, maybe three things. First, how proud he is of Dobbs. Second, he indicates that it's up to the states. That's not what the Dobbs ruling said. There could still be a federal law that grants women the right to control their bodies, to be in full equal, stand on fully equal footing with men. Okay? So he talks about it in terms of states. And then he sort of devolves into this, well, maybe some states will have it and some states won't. That's not the Republican Party position on abortion. So let's listen again.
President didn't endorse a national abortion ban, instead saying it should be decided by each state.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby.
I'm not sure if we can find the, if we can't, it's okay. He goes on to say how proud he is about Dobbs. But here's the problem with what he's saying here, of course. If life begins at conception, you run into a problem, theoretically, with IVF. That's what happened in Alabama. These are not items that can work in harmony. These are not viewpoints. These are not policy platforms that actually can be harmonized. That's the problem here. Cam from Nina texting, and we want to make it easier for you to have babies, even though you didn't want one. Forget that you didn't like the vaccines forced on us. We'll make sure you're going to have a baby. Yeah. You can't square these policies. You can't square these viewpoints. They are incompatible. And mind you, a commentator was saying that Donald Trump doesn't support a national ban on abortion. He said stuff that comes damn near close to it, including this statement, Anya. We're going to listen to it. This is the first cut of the day, the one from March 30th, 2016. This is Donald Trump in an interview with Chris Matthews. Let's take a listen.
Punished for having an abortion? Look, This is not something you can dodge.
It's a,
if
no,
you
no,
say
it's
abortion not, is a not, crime or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding it.
Are you going to say, well, wait, are you going to say put them in jail? Is that the punishment
that you're talking
about?
Well, no, but I'm asking you, because you say you want to ban it. What's that mean?
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it. I'm
you ban it, they go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think I.
And how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem with
it. No, but let me ask you, but what do you say about
it's not funny.
Your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments, but you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Ten years.
I don't know. That I don't know. That
why
I don't
not?
Know.
And
I don't
there
know.
You have it. Everything else. Point blank, yes or no, do you believe in punishment for abortion? Answer yes. For the woman, yes. That's Donald Trump. Chris Matthews is making very clear he has argued for a ban. And what's scary, again, 145 Republicans saying the Comstock Act prevents mifepristone. All of a sudden they're pro-IVF. But this is not, you cannot square these opinions, these viewpoints. If you believe life begins at conception, if you've said, I support a ban, that women should be locked up, should be jailed if they have an abortion, you don't now get to backtrack, because the reality that you wanted, Donald Trump, that the GOP wanted, is what we've got in Arizona, in Texas, in Alabama. And the reason I keep harping on the mifepristone case and these 145 Republicans that signed on to it, including attaching as an exhibit and favorably citing a letter signed by Mike Johnson that argues that this should be a crime. Nothing under the Comstock Act limits itself to drugs. The Comstock Act reads, every article or thing designed, adapted, or intended for producing abortion is declared to be non-mailable matter per the law. Every article or thing? Anything that you use for surgical abortion is eventually mailed and sent around. Arguing for the Comstock Act to be applied in this way would result in a national ban on abortion. And Donald Trump can't answer the questions well, so he starts asking Chris Matthews what his view is. I mean, you know that this is a problem when the interviewee wants to turn it around and interview the interviewer. You know what I'm saying? And Trump's word salad on Monday, I'm asking him the same question Chris Matthews was asking him in 2016. How are you doing this? What would the law actually read? There are no specifics here. And watching Carrie Lake and all of these vulnerable Republicans in Arizona and the president now tie themselves into pretzels to distance themselves from their prior draconian lock 'em up towards women is unconscionable to me. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a few. I'm going to dig into what exactly was going on when this law in Arizona was passed back during the Civil War. What was the context here? What other laws did they adopt to see if this fits within our moral universe as we understand it today? Don't go anywhere, anybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, back with more in just a few.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film CEO Ann Reed and Elton John tribute artist Tom Cridland. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
IPATH avian influenza. It's been in the news now for a couple weeks, but did you know Wisconsin, very different than any other state in how they monitor it? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Wednesday. Details on how we're different next.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust Steffes Group's team of professionals to get you the best return on your investment. Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales representative near you and discuss your options today.
This year, IPATH avian influenza isn't impacting just birds. Six states have found the strain of bird flu in dairy cows. Health officials say it's spreading through wild birds or their droppings. Now, Wisconsin livestock farmers and hobbyists are aware of potential risk through the state's use of premise identification. Required by law, this database is run by the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. Executive Director Julie Sweeney says this critical information helps prevent the spread of disease.
They utilize the information to be able to realize who to contact and share relevant information. So depending upon the type of disease that you might be talking about, the Department of Agriculture, the animal health team can explain to say, you know, stay out of the northwest corner of the county where a farm has been identified with a positive test for HPAI or whichever disease it might be, to know that there's a level of risk for that virus traveling in that area of the state. They also might suggest additional biosecurity measures on your operation or your premises, as well as restrictive movement in that area.
Julie Sweeney, executive director of the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. She says Wisconsin's unique in that it's the only state to have a separate entity from the government to manage the premise identification database. That's about confidentiality. You can find out more about the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium online, WIID.org.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Don't miss a thing connected to Wisconsin agriculture. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter delivered directly to your inbox. Go to MidwestFarmReport.com and sign up there. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It doesn't get much better than this. Bright and beautiful sunny skies today with high temperatures soaring 20 degrees above our average highs, smacking the low 70s. Clouds will thicken tonight as spotty showers push in overnight. Even a few rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
So let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest.
With everything lacrosse is talking about.
You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
It's time for me to take it.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been talking about the flip-flopping, the distancing, the hemming and hawing, the twisting into a pretzel that's happening up and down the GOP ticket. Because they've gotten what they campaigned on. They got what they wished for, which is the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and now chaos when it comes to women's health care. The trigger, you know, they all were for the trigger bans. Oh, this will be the best thing ever. We'll have trigger bans. Wonderful. And then they got the trigger ban, and all of a sudden, oh, wait. Ooh, maybe Civil War era legislation isn't the best way to define human rights these days. You think? Now they, oh, pro-IVF. Life might begin at conception, or it definitely begins at conception. But yeah, IVF, that's fine now. Here's what the Arizona Supreme Court wrote in the decision. And I trust me, I'm going to get to an analysis of the decision. But I wanted to set the stage with what actually is in this 1864 body of law from Arizona, the territory. But let's just take a read on what the Arizona Supreme Court wrote before we dive in. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. A policy matter of this gravity must be ultimately resolved by our citizens through the legislature or the initiative process. We defer, as we are constitutionally obligated to do, to the legislature's judgment, which is accountable to and thus reflects the mutable will of our citizens. I will get to that. But at base, what it says is, well, we're going to go back to this 1864 law because that's what our citizens wanted. Citizens now or citizens in 1864? Who exactly was in the legislature in 1864? I'll tell you who wasn't. Women. Okay. The entire body of Arizona law that was adopted in 1864 was written by one man. It's called the Howell Code. They were kind enough to name it after him. In 1864 in Arizona wasn't a state. Women couldn't vote. Black folks couldn't vote. Doctors, here's the state of medicine back then. Doctors were still sewing up wounds with horsehair and wouldn't wash their instruments after surgical procedures. They just put them back in their case. That's where the state of medicine was in 1864. And specifically, as we get into the portion of the Arizona 1864 laws that relate to pregnancy and abortion, it becomes very clear when you read these laws in context that what the Arizona legislature was worried about was male behavior. In other words, not women going to get consensual abortions. This same body of law has a section on dueling. You heard me, dueling, like Alexander Hamilton style. Yep, there's a section in the law about dueling. Oh, by the way, punishable by 3 years in jail. They talk about poisoning. And they talk about abortion in that context. Anyone who uses poison or instruments with the intention to procure the miscarriage of any woman then being with child. Guess what this sounds just like? The Wisconsin law that has been ruled to not prevent consensual abortion, but rather someone harming a pregnant woman to cause her involuntarily to lose her baby. That's what it says. With the intention to procure the miscarriage of any woman, then being a child. Yeah. Different. By the way, the next section in the 1864 Howell Code from the Territory of Arizona is that you can't cut out people's tongues or eyes, you can't slit noses or lips, and you can't render useless anyone's arm or leg. This is what they were worried about back then. Basically, if you understand that at this time the Civil War was raging, you've got a territory here. They were worried about sort of marauding men out of control, maiming and harming others. That's what this was about. This wasn't about reproductive health care, for crying out loud. I mean, what? That wasn't a thing. Just let me sew up your Civil War wound with some horsehair here. But when you zoom out even further on the Howell Code, it becomes even more disturbing. And by the way, at this time, there were 18 men in the lower house of representatives in the Arizona Territorial Legislature and 9 men in the upper house, for a total of 27 men. By the way, they paid the guy that wrote this body of law $2,500. Thank you for writing the law. $2,500 back in 1864 was basically 3 years' salary for your average working person. And here's some of the other items of pressing importance back in 1864 Arizona. They, after adopting the Howell Code, they gave a member of the House of Representatives a divorce from his wife. That used to be a matter of, you know, state legislative importance. They established a county road. Then they gave a local army surgeon a divorce. Basically, they adopted 40 laws, and it was a combination of starting road companies and railway companies and creating new roads and infrastructure. They appropriated money for schools. They incorporated the Arizona Historical Society. What they were trying to do is bring some order to sort of lawless Arizona territory back then and try to start some development. But this was 1864. So here's what else the Howell Laws said. And this is a quote, trigger warning here, some offensive language. No black or mulatto or Indian, Mongolian or Asiatic shall be permitted to testify in court against any white person. Can't even testify in court. Thus, it became impossible for anybody in any of those categories to protect themselves, their families, their households, or themselves from wrongdoing by any of their white neighbors. It basically was like, no, open season on any person of color because you can't testify in court. It also declared in 1864 that, quote, all marriages between a white person and a black person shall be absolutely void. The word absolutely is in there. Not just void, absolutely void. This is the law that Carrie Lake, Donald Trump, and every single congressional Republican in the state of Arizona campaigned on and said should apply to women's health care today. And if that weren't enough, here's what else the 1864 laws did. It defined the age of consent for sexual intercourse at 10 years old. In 1864, Arizona, they were worried about out-of-control marauding men taking people's limbs off and beating women to the point that they would have involuntarily a miscarriage. But they could sleep with a 10-year-old girl. Not a single person of color could testify in court. And this is the law that the entire GOP wants to now apply to women's health care in the state of Arizona. And yeah, this is a problem for the GOP. Because before the midterm election, 61% of Arizona voters told Polar VoteCast they believe abortion should be legal in most or all cases. Now, Jeff, one of our most loyal listeners from Shorewood, asks, Maggie, wouldn't you think that a more recent Arizona law on abortion should control? Funny that you ask that, Jeff, because indeed, there was absolutely no reason for the Arizona Supreme Court to reach the decision that it did. In other words, the Arizona Supreme Court, which, by the way, is all Republicans, all conservatives, they could have simply said that this antiquated 1864 law, which also made it legal for men to sleep with 10-year-old girls and made it illegal for any person of color to testify in court, declaring, therefore, open season on people of color in the territory of Arizona. They could have said, maybe that's not a real good standard body of law for us to endorse. And they simply could have said that a 2022 law, you know, 2 years ago, when women had the right to vote in Arizona, that that law trumped or overruled or needed to be given preference over the 1864 law because that law addressed abortion. That's what they could have done. Here's what it said. This is the 2022 law. This is in Arizona's law books. There is a statute that says what I'm about to read to you. Except in a medical emergency, a physician may not intentionally or knowingly perform, induce, or attempt to perform or induce an abortion if the probable gestational age of the unborn human being has been determined to be greater than 15 weeks. Right? I mean, so why would you think Arizona would adopt a law in 2022 that made abortion illegal before Roe versus Wade was overturned? Because they wanted a trigger ban on the books. But guess what? The Arizona Supreme Court decided they didn't like the fact that you might be able to get an abortion before 15 weeks, right? Like, that's what that says. It bans abortion after 15 weeks, except in the case of a medical emergency. And so what the Arizona Supreme Court had to do was somehow find that that language is ambiguous, which is garbage. And of the six-person Arizona Supreme Court that is all Republicans and all conservatives, two of them dissented and pointed this out. Said, no, the 2022 law is totally clear. It takes precedence over this 1864 nonsense. And the analysis should stop there. You can't read ambiguity into the plain text of statute just because you want to, but that's exactly what the Arizona Supreme Court did. It is so contorted. It is so backwards. I can't believe we got just a couple of messages. Don't you go anywhere. This is a real, just a couple messages. And I'm going to bring it all back around because there is good news here. There is good news. I promise you, I never like to leave you hanging with just the bad news. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep those texts. Come and join our conversation. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Good news coming up next.
What's wrong with being confident?
Eagle 1490 AM.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We are talking about the Arizona Supreme Court abortion ban decision. I was explaining during the last segment that there is a more updated, just two-year-old law on the Arizona statute books that makes abortion illegal after 15 weeks. Instead of simply saying that is the law that applies in Arizona, the Supreme Court of Arizona invented ambiguity where there was none, contorted themselves into a method of legal interpretation that I would find hard to defend with a straight face. And I shared with you some of the more shocking other provisions, not having to do with abortion, that exist in this 1864 group of laws. And the reason I shared that is because of this. If the Arizona Supreme Court can, with a magic wand, say that our modern laws don't apply because there's an old law, and let's just revert back to the old law, then indeed, friends, we may be in very, very dangerous territory. Because why wouldn't it also be the case then that the age of consent in Arizona is 10? Why wouldn't it also be the case then that no person of color can testify in the state of Arizona? It just, this is why proponents of these draconian abortion bans find themselves painted into absurd corners at every single turn. Because we don't define rights for women and people of color in 2024 the way that we did in 1864. And you shouldn't need a damn law degree to figure that one out. Now, I promised you all some good news. First bit of good news is congressional candidate for the 8th District in Wisconsin, Dr. Kristen Lierley, will be joining me at the top of the hour. She is a gynecologist and obstetrician. I think she probably has something to say about women's access to meaningful health care. But I also wanted to share some other, good news. Because Carrie Lake is running again earlier this week. We heard Roseanne Barr speaking from one of Carrie Lake's fundraisers. But Carrie Lake is running again in the state of Arizona. Now, conspiracy theorist, election denier. I wanted to listen to a little bit of Carrie Lake. Back in 2022, Anya, we're going to start with the June 26, 2022. So that's the last one on the list. Let's listen to what Carrie Lake had to say back in June of 2022 about the 1864 law.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And I think we're going to be paving the way and setting course for other states to follow.
Is that all we've got of that, or is there more? Okay. She goes on to actually name the Arizona law by number. 13-3603. I'm incredibly thrilled that we're going to have a great law that's already on the books. I believe it's ARS 13-3603. Let's listen to Carrie Lake. This is later in June. This is going to be the third cut. Again, supporting an abortion ban. Here we go. Carrie Lake, June 2022.
We don't have the truth.
Carrie, we'll start with you on this one. The new law banning abortion, well, the new law banning abortion in Arizona after 15 weeks. There's that law, and there's a territorial era law which bans all abortion, zippo, over. Mm-hmm. Which law do you think should take effect?
My personal belief is that all life matters, all life counts, and all life is precious, and I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to take is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen.
Okay, but you approve of that? At conception?
I believe life begins at conception.
Okay, what do we do about abortion pills? What do we do about...
I don't think abortion pills should be legal. That's very...
Not in Arizona. Karen, what do you think?
I agree.
You agree?
I agree. I am 100% pro-life.
There you have it. You hear her endorse the territorial law there, the absolute ban. Well, you know, wait until you get what you campaigned on, Carrie, and all of a sudden, flippity floppity, flippity floop, tit. Nope. Yesterday, here's what Carrie Lake is saying about the 1864 total abortion ban. The law is out of step with Arizonans. She called on state lawmakers to, quote, come up with a solution that Arizonans can support. What? Wait, like, legit, run the tapes. I'm incredibly thrilled that we're going to have a great law that's already on the books. I believe it's ARS 13-3603. This is from, again, a June 2022 interview on the Conservative Circus with James T. Harris show.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And
yeah. She wants to ban abortion. The mifepristone. She's for that. Total abortion. Life begins at conception. No exception. And so she gets called out on this by her Democratic opponent, Ruben Gallego, who's running against her for Senate in Arizona. And he says, this isn't, what are you doing distancing yourself from this decision by the Arizona Supreme Court? You endorsed this. You ran on this not 10 years ago, not 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And so he calls this out on Twitter, and Carrie Lake's spokeswoman, Caroline Wren, then posts the radio interview that omits, this is what we just ran, right? Like, omits Carrie Lake endorsing the territorial ban. She's lying to people. This is the problem. Oh, I'll lose my election if I maintain consistency with my prior statements, so I'll just lie and say that I didn't make them. That's who Carrie Lake is, in addition to being a complete whack job. So the good news here is that people like Carrie Lake and Donald Trump now have nowhere to hide on abortion, because they set it on the record, and all we got to do is roll the tapes. You're not going to want to miss what we've got coming up next, everybody. Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District on the Democratic ticket. Just
soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball, Thursday noon to 2, talking with Jeffrey Hoffman, converting the DeLorean to electric on Civic Media's Radio Network.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In the House, a key procedural vote on a bill to reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA.